Good morning out there. How's everyone doing? Great. Great. Well, we're going to share some great things with you this morning. We only do this these days, this kind of Sunday, once every 2 years. And we're going to share with you, as Richie mentioned earlier, about our mission trip to East Africa, specifically to Uganda. You'll notice a lot of the team has their team shirts on. I gave all mine away, so I'm living in the past today. But we had a good trip. Most of you know that we went to the area of Katakwana. We actually planted a church in the village of Koena, which is in the sub-parish of Katakwana. So we had that's where the church plant is, and we're going to tell you a little bit about that in the upcoming time. I wanted just to mention that we've been going to Uganda, or East Africa, I should say, Uganda, Kenya, and Tanzania, since 1998. During the course of our last 2 weeks, if you listen to Morris Oginga talk about it, it gradually went to 97 and 96 and on. So he gets kind of excited about it, and we end up being actually going over there more than we have. But it's good to know that when we go over there as Grace Community Bible Church, they love us and they know us. If you ever think about going, you already have friends over there. You just haven't met them yet. Since we've been going since 1998, and every year the trip is pretty much the same. There's a little things that we've tweaked along the way and things we've done different in the training. But it would be relatively easy for us to sort of turn on the automatic trip machine and step through the training and logistical requirements just as they've been done previously. But God never means for our ministry efforts to be impersonal or mechanical. Though much of the trip goes as planned and runs pretty much as they have since we started going, we always have to be careful not to miss the amazing things that God does to get our attention. We always need to see Him in what we're doing and to see the ministry through His eyes. The Bible uses the word amazed or astonished nearly 30 times in Jesus' ministry. Wherever Jesus went, exciting, even astounding things were bound to happen. We saw some astounding and amazing things on this trip. We should never let any part of ministry become mundane or simply routine. We should remember that when God is involved, miracles will happen, and we will experience things that are beyond ourselves. We're going to take you on a journey to Uganda this morning through videos, pictures, and testimonies. Come share in our journey and prepare to be astonished. Thank you.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, shy and true. Thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
That's pretty. You guys start.
Yay, Suni Wangu, Wawa Samawa Bilele.
Yay, Suni Mungu, Wawa Samawa Bilele.
Hallelujah.
On behalf of Meruketu Presbyterian Church and my own behalf, I want to express my sincere thanks to Grace Community Bible Church, Midland, Texas, for the great work they are doing for us in Uganda, especially for helping me raise the building, the pastor's house, buy land, and everything to buy chairs in the church and everything they did for us during the mission in the year 2012. I want so much to express my sincere thanks and appreciate them. And I also want to inform you, friends, that our church is growing. We are the pastor, the flock, and the ground. We are doing good and we are growing. We also continue to ask you to continue to put us into your prayers and the church will expand. And we do more things like studying electricity and doing boho and whatsoever. So thank you very much. May God bless you for the work you do in Uganda. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Wendy Albert, and this is my first time to go on any missions trip. And I was excited to come to Uganda, a little hesitant, but I wasn't really sure what exactly was going to be happening, what I was going to be doing, but everyone was very helpful. One thing we did each day was go out and just walk around the area around where they were planting the church, and just visiting everybody in their homes, just from hut to hut. And that for me was a totally new experience. And we just presented the gospel to them. For me, that was a very new experience to go up to somebody that I didn't know and just begin to present the gospel to them. One really exciting story we had was that we met a lady named Joyce, and we were going through presenting the gospel to her, and we came to the example of if you were in the hospital dying of AIDS, and I came to you and said, let me take your bad blood and give you my good blood. And we presented that, and she got excited and just started chattering away in her language. And we waited, and she kept talking and talking and talking and talking. We could tell she was very excited. And finally, our translator told us that Joyce had a daughter who actually was dying of AIDS. And her daughter had told her that she had a dream that on that day the Mzungu were going to come to her house and present the gospel of Jesus Christ to her. And Joyce prayed that day and received salvation. So that was very, very exciting for me. For anybody else that's thinking about coming, or if you're not thinking about coming, just do it. God says to go into all the world. Thank you.
I'm called Pastor Bobby Simon Peter.
I'm
the pastor of this church. I'm very, very excited because of the great work that God is doing here, especially through the brothers of Grace Community Bible Church. I was involved this whole week translating with Pastor David on the trail together with the team. And it's a beautiful church, beautiful pastor's house, the boho that is flowing with too much water, which is going to serve thousands and thousands of people. This is a miracle. Second miracle of the gospel that has been sown in this community. I really thank so much God for how awesome it is, for the great blessing that is flowing to Africa, especially the Eastern Presbytery, through Pastor Morris Ogenga. Thank you so much.
Yes, it's been a fantastic week, and our team from Grace has been really blessed and stretched to be part of the church plant that has taken place. And it was a packed house, and of all these people that are just excited to talk about the Lord. Africa, East Africa Missions, is an excellent opportunity to be stretched. Your faith will be stretched. You will be excited to see what he does. You will be really encouraged to see the number of people who are receptive to the message. But most of all, take the opportunity to become involved in East Africa Missions and go once. Make the commitment to go at least one time and be completely open to how God might be stretching you and how he might get your attention in some areas in your life that you don't normally deal with. What did God do to me this week? Had me be relaxed. Even though I never feel adequate to be a trip leader, or I never feel like I'm prepared, even before getting on the plane, there was a peace. And that's something that's grown in me, is just the peace that he would give me what I needed in so many situations. Because, you know, you could drive yourself crazy trying to come up with the answers for all kind of scenarios that haven't even happened yet. But if you go through the training that is given in preparation for the trip, and you've been, you know, seeking his guidance and completely open to him and enjoying your relationship with him in America, he'll take care of you while he was here. So for me, it was peace, just calmness. Even though I didn't know how things were going to turn out in so many scenarios that people were depending on me for the right kind of communication and timing of events, there was just a peace that he would take care of things. And that's so different for me, because I can stress myself very easily. Didn't have that stress.
Your name on high. Well, hopefully the video gave you a little bit of an idea of what we did. But what we're going to also do is we're going to have a couple testimonies, and then after the testimonies, I've put together a little PowerPoint, and we're going to show you. Now, about three goals I have, and we have as a group, and one goal is this. Is this right? Somebody was pointing at this like I did something wrong. Okay. Three goals I have is this. Number one, we just want to give you an idea of what happened this last week, somewhat in a chronological order. Number two, we want to motivate you to consider next time we go that you would again pray and give as you did so sacrificially this time. It was very evident to us that there were a lot of prayers that went before us, and also the giving was, well, if you walk outside that door, there's a thermometer and it's busted because the giving was way beyond what we were needing or even expecting. And then finally, hopefully as you listen to the testimonies and watch the PowerPoint, you might even be tweaked a little bit to the point where you think, well, next time maybe I might consider going. Because you've already had the training. You know, I say Yoganoi, so you're already halfway there. You just have to decide to get on the plane. But what we're going to do right now is have a couple testimonies. And first up, we're going to have Cindy, and she's going to come up and share with us a little bit. And then Fred.
Good morning, church family. Thank you for your prayers, of your financial support, and your compassionate hearts. There's a popular saying our African brothers and sisters say while we're there, and we'll do it together. They say, the leader says, God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
I want to share with you why this saying is so true, regardless of any circumstances we might encounter in our lives, whether they be external or internal. I've been to Africa eight times over a period of 14 years. Every year, the routine is basically the same. But what is not the same is the location, the external circumstances like weather or how we're feeling sick or fine, culture, what the local people are dealing with and how to relate with them. What also changes are the internal struggles each year that we are dealing with each time we go on these trips. I've learned over the years that prayer and reading my Bible is the only thing that helps me get to the point of being somewhat ready to go, to put myself way out of my comfort zone for the sake of verbally sharing the gospel. Every year, I've had struggles of not wanting to go to Africa, because of insecurities, fears over many things, but mainly just sharing the gospel and what I might encounter along the way. I'd just as soon not go. And sometimes I don't. But because of prayer, God, and my family's encouragement, I would go on most of the times I was asked or felt like I needed to go, but I'd go hesitantly. Every morning, the anticipation of what we were about to do would almost shut me down. But I went and then would marvel over God's goodness and compassion and how he helped me. Each year seemed better, but the fearfulness about going and sharing still seemed to linger and mess with me on a regular basis. I've given testimonies of how he answered my prayers, what he taught me, and how he worked. Those were all true. But I was tired of being afraid and hesitant and did not want to go this year with thoughts like that mucking up my mind. I wanted to be as ready as I possibly could be. I prayed as specifically as I could about the fear and other roadblocks that came to mind. Instead of being fearful, I prayed to be fearless. God led me to read Psalms 23, then to study this beautiful psalm, and then to understand how it applied to me. I have heard this psalm all my life. But at this point in my life is when it really made sense and really touched my heart. I realized anew that the Lord is Cindy's shepherd. Cindy shall not want. He was already my Savior. He knew exactly what I was in need of, and he even listed them in the rest of the psalm. I repeated this psalm many times throughout the days before leaving for Uganda until I could lie down in his green pastures, drink from his still waters, and he restored and refreshed my soul. This psalm became the Sunday school lesson that I taught both Sundays while I was there. In Uganda, I did not hesitate over much of anything. Even when I did, the Lord squelched it pretty quickly. I was anxious to get the party started, like, come on, guys, let's go. Let's get out there. in my own unique way. There was a compassion for people I do not remember having previously. So when sharing the bad news and the good news, I lingered on the reason God sent Jesus, and that Jesus was flesh, blood, just like we are, and experienced everything we go through physically and emotionally. He saw and responded to the crowds of the people who were confused and helpless. He had compassion on the crowds because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He deeply felt their need and willingly chose to become that shepherd by dying with not only their sins, but our sins on the cross. Because he chose to die and was raised from the grave, we can place our trust in him for salvation, receive the Holy Spirit, who is always with us here on earth. Many times I would feel overwhelmed by the needs of the Ugandan people because they are great. I am just one person. How can I even begin to help? What do I bring? Where do I start? Then the rest of that scripture passage in Matthew 9 brought it to the forefront. I've heard this scripture many times too. But not until this trip did it really penetrate my heart. Verses 37, 38, Jesus said, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest for more workers to go into the fields. I'm the Lord's harvest worker." That brings good news to anyone who has not heard and to hopefully lead them to know Jesus Christ, because he is the only one who knows exactly what we need, when we need it. So to that I say, God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God's good.
Thank you.
As you can see, I didn't get the memo about the t-shirt, but that's all right. I've been at Grace be 20 years this year. So I was here when we first started going to Africa. And anytime there was any talk about me going, my wife said, "Don't even think about it." So then in 2004, Phil Norby approached me and asked me if I would go. And I told him that my wife said I couldn't go, so I couldn't go. Well, 5 minutes later, he had found my wife and talked to her, and I was going. So, and I don't know how that conversation went, but he was very convincing, I guess. Anyway, so this was my eighth trip this year. So I've gone many times since, and each time is a little different, and but God grows you in many different ways. And one of the things that I always see is because you guys are all praying and we're praying, you know, for the Lord to prepare the hearts of the people in the village. And each year you can see, you'll run into somebody or several usually that you can tell that their hearts have been prepared and they're just so eager to you to stop talking so they can pray and accept Christ. And one day we went out, they took us out in the vans and we were going to walk back towards the church. And the very first person we talked to, we got off the main road and went down this trail, and there was an older woman working in the field. So we shared with her, and she was just so, you could just tell she was so humble and eager to hear the word and just knew in her heart why we were there and what we were there for. And so it's just a really good experience to know that the Lord's showing you that, yes, I'm here and I'm working, and we're just showing up and mouthing the words. You know, their hearts are already ready. And another experience that's always good for me, because the first year I went in 2004, the orphanage was, they were just putting the roof on the orphanage. So we went there on Saturday, I guess it was, the kids have all grown so much, you know. It's been 10 years, and they're big now. And they always put on a big production for us and sing and dance and do these things for us. And really, a lot of them are very talented, too. And it's just a very emotional experience for me to see all these kids, how much they've grown and matured. And then when, you know, you've been in the village all week going house to house, and you see the conditions that most of them live in, and then you see this orphanage, which by our standards is nothing fancy, but it's far and above anything that the village children are living in, any conditions they're living in. So it is a wonderful gift that we've given them, and it's this church that has done these things that has done the giving and the praying and started the orphanage and all these churches that we've planted. And every year when I go, there's I could give you 100 different reasons why I shouldn't go. It's just there's you can come up with many, many excuses, but I just you know, I show up for the meetings, and next thing you know, I'm showing up at the airport, and off we go. And I encourage all of you to show up for the meetings, and next thing you know, your heart will be changed too by the Lord. Thank you.
All right, what we're going to do now is we're going to fly through with some slides what happened while we were there. So we'll begin with on the plane off to Africa. Now, if you don't know exactly where Africa is, I can't help you. But once you get to Africa, I can show you where Uganda is. There's a map, and you can see Uganda there in the green. We're right above Lake Victoria. In fact, we were able to go out there right next to the lake. We hung out there for a little bit on our way back. But we fly into Entebbe. Then you go from Entebbe to Kampala, drive through Kampala, and then you hit up to Mbale. And right northwest of Mbale, the red dot, that's where we were at, and that's Kawena. A little village area there. So that's where we ended up going. A lot of time on the plane, 18 hours. To me, this is the hardest part of the trip. A lot of folks probably think, well, you're going to get over there and there's going to be all sorts of wild animals and snakes. There's no snakes or wild animals in Uganda. There's nothing. They have eaten it all. There's nothing in that area. And I'm not, you keep looking out in the woods thinking, I'm going to see a leopard sometime. There's nothing there. Nothing. Except mosquitoes. But so you're on the plane a lot, and, you know, I got to see some movies. Lego Movie, I hadn't seen that. Spider-Man, hadn't seen that. Avengers, hadn't seen that. you can tell Fred and I are really having a good time there at the airport. All the smiles are when we first left, okay? And it's 18 hours of just rearranging your posterior to try to find a way that's comfortable. Got in a lot of chess games, a lot of chess games. That was good. So we had a trip that was forgettable. But once you get there, that's when the excitement starts. And now this picture was actually late in the game. This was later in the week, but I throw this picture up front because some of you might be visiting here and you're wondering, who is the connection? Well, Morris Oginga and his wife here, Ida. They come here every December or January. So if you hang around this place, give us a little bit more time if you're visiting, you will see them in either December or January. And he stands up here, tells everybody thank you for all the giving and such, and then he preaches the sermon. Okay? But he's the fellow that we work through, that we plant all these churches and do all sorts of ministry in the orphanage through. And his wife is incredible. She does a lot of the administration. She's in some ways perhaps the heart and soul of his ministry, I think. So anyway, wonderful couple, and we went to their church right off the bat. And you can see Cindy, see the gal down there in the right corner embracing another gal. There's not too many redheads in Africa. So that's Cindy down there, I think, hugging one of the ladies. And so this is Morris's church, and so it's nice to be able to see his church. Sunday school, the men's Sunday school, Richie brought the message. I mean, when you go over there, they're just going to pluck you. Well, Pete or Paul will walk up and pluck you and say, you're teaching Sunday school. Are you ready? So you want to prepare a few things ahead of time. Or you might be preaching a message, but you're told ahead of time to be prepared. You might go to the prison that day. In the morning, hey, you're going to the schools, Dave. So you go to the schools that day. And it's just you and the translators and the praise team. So there's a certain amount of serendipity, a certain amount of spontaneity in what happens. But this is Richie teaching Sunday school. We had music, special number after special. This is actually the orphanage, some of the orphans up here singing to the church there in Mbale. And I got to preach. So instead of Morris preaching here, I got to preach at his church. He was gone that Sunday. So I preached the message that morning, and that was Simon who did the translating. If you look to the green structure on the right is the existing CBIT. That's Covenant Bible Theology School, and that's the green, and it's in really bad shape, and we needed to do some work and add another facility. So the big yellow building is the brand new facility, and that was just, well, it's 90% completed. But you can tell it's really beautiful, and so there was a lot of excitement for them to get their new administrative building. Here we are walking around inside the rooms. The fellow there in the blue shirt, John Palmer, he and his wife Bobby are working at the orphanage now. And so he was a key resource person there doing a wonderful job, and we were excited to be able to have dinner with them later in the week and talk to them quite a bit more. Boaz is who Paul is talking to. He's administrator there of the CBIT. And there we are, all of us posed out front of the new building. Just looking at the building, you can see why the folks are excited about it. We stayed at Mount Elgon Hotel. I'm sure this was built by the British. You know, this used to be a British colony. That's why English is taught to the little ones. Beautiful hotel, and we're standing outside there. You eat pretty well. You don't have to worry about going there. Well, star, there's nothing good to eat. No, it's excellent food. We ate, actually, Ling Ling's is up there, a Chinese place we eat on the way in. The bottom left, tilapia? That was good, tilapia, fish. I am not a fish person. I like to drown my fish with tartar sauce and hold my nose while I eat it. I tell you what, I didn't even need tartar sauce for this thing. It was good stuff. That was good fish, except for the eyes. I didn't mess with that. But we ate really well. In fact, more and more food. They feed us lunch. First of all, you eat breakfast and dinner at the hotel. So you eat well there. You can see the spread down there. Every morning it's bacon. I had Spanish omelet every single morning. You have fruit, real fruit juice just squeezed. And it's quite a setup. And then for lunch, you know, they fed us well. You can see here we had tortillas with refried beans and rice and guacamole. They know we're from Texas. So they take care of you. And then that top meal to the left, Ida put together, my goodness, that had about 5 pounds of butter and garlic in it. That was some rich stuff. So you eat well there. You don't have to worry about the food. This is the back of the motel where we stayed. The little hut there, several times we had our devotions every morning and every evening. We would sing some songs and have devotions, and that was one of the places. You can see the mountain, Mount Elgon, in the background, which is what the hotel's named after. They even have a pool there. Now, we didn't mess with the pool, but I guess if you were a youth that came along, you could go hop in the pool. Every morning, Fred would have his guitar going, and there we are singing in our little hut. And we always had a really outstanding message. Sometimes people weren't quite awake. There's Richie bringing us a devotional in the morning. Each one of us took turns doing the devotional. Now, we call this hut-to-hut evangelism, and you can kind of see from the picture why we call it hut-to-hut, because you are out in the bush, and you walk through looking for whoever will stop and talk to you. Now, you could actually call it road evangelism, too, because as you're going along these roads, we'll just stop and talk to anybody and everybody. And here you can see Paul and his translator talking to a couple beside the road. There you have Wendy and her translator. It's just very common for you to get in conversations with people on the road or as you're going hut to hut. You and your translator, Simon Peter, is up in the, and you heard him earlier. He's in the top right. He was my translator. And this is the scene you see. You get paired up with a translator and you go off into the woods like that. And you just hope he knows where he's going. And you're so grateful there are no leopards and anacondas and all that, because that looks like Africa, doesn't it? But there are no animals, and these guys know the land like the back of their hand, and so it was a lot of fun going out there, going hut to hut. This was my first stop. First stop we came to, we walk up to them, and my translator says, "We have a message for you from David from America." And they all sit down in the dirt, and I get the only chair in the area with my translator, and they sit there and listen quietly all the way through the gospel without budging. And this is what you see over and over again. Probably 80% of them, when it comes time to ask them, "Did you understand the gospel? Would you like to receive Christ?" "Yes, sir." I mean, it's amazing. Here's another group. Now, you'll notice in these groups, oftentimes it's a whole bunch of little kids. Many times there's a mom or two. There'll be a mom and maybe a grandmother. But what happens on many occasions is there are no men around. You might find a couple of ladies and 8 to 10 kids. Many men have died from HIV, from AIDS, or others are out working. But sometimes you see the guys there. But again, these are the types of sights you see. Lots of kids. Lots of kids, lots of teenage boys. Now again, there's dozens of pictures I could show you, but these are fairly representative. And when you start sharing the gospel, they have your full, you have their full attention. They do not, they listen. They don't look at you always in the eyes because that's not culturally respectful for them. They oftentimes will kind of look down or look disinterested, but they're hearing every word you say. This is a group I went to. All of them just, they'll stop. In fact, you could be 50 yards away, they'll see you walking with your translator, and there's a scurry of activity, and they'll go grab the only chairs they have, they'll set those chairs up for you, and the rest of them start piling on the ground. Because word's gone out. There's Mzungus in the area. That's white people. And so they will all, and some of them have never seen white people. And that's why the little kids sometimes, I've had kids scream and shriek, "He's sick, he's sick." Now, I didn't know what they were saying. That's what the translator told me. They thought, "That guy's sick." So many have never heard. So many want to receive Christ. You see Cindy there with the whole group and her translator. Now, after we shared the gospel, it's not, you know, see you later, thank you. What we do is we write down their names. What most of us were doing, I did this with every place I went. I took pictures. I'd say after we were all done, "Can I take a picture of you and your family?" And then we'd take a picture of the family. Well, we printed those off, and we gave them to the pastor that was going to be their pastor. So he had pictures of them. He had their names. And so there's follow-up, there's discipleship afterwards that he will do after we're long gone, which is so important. Cindy mentioned it earlier, so many needs in Africa. This is a common sight. You don't see too many shoes on the people out in the rural areas. A lot of kids just seem to be playing in debris, poorly dressed. Sometimes we would go to school. You'd have the whole group for perhaps in the morning, because in the morning up till about 1 o'clock, you did your hut-to-hut evangelism. They'd always pluck one of us and say, "You're going to the school today." So you'd get in a van with some musicians, and you'd head out for some schools. This was two different schools I went to one day. Eric is in the top. He's in the turquoise shirt. He's a blast. That guy has rubber legs. He's like Dick Van Dyke when you see him dance. He didn't dance for us this time, but I remember him from 2 years ago. Oops, hang up the phone. Then you see down in the bottom left, you have Ben. Ben is the pastor that was installed 2 years ago at our Latch church plant. So it was wonderful for me to spend the whole afternoon talking to Ben about the church that we planted. And then if you look down in the bottom right, I'm sure these folks had the same type of experience, but pulled up to the school, and there's about 300 kids out there all over the playground, just like you'd expect. The minute we pull up in that van, they see that Mzungu step out, that whole place just is a mad rush to the van. And so they set up all the kids, you know, in little aisles. They all sit in the dirt. They pull out a couple benches and chairs, and then it's time for some singing, which Eric and Ben led in, and then I would preach the message. And this is what we would typically do. We also would go into the prisons, by the way. After I was done, they asked how many kids would like to accept Christ, and I led them in a prayer. These were all the kids that had prayed to receive Christ that morning. That's amazing. You can go into a school, preach the gospel. The administrator was so excited about it. She said, "How many of you kids accepted Jesus when Pastor Dave prayed? Come up here." And so these were the ones who had the courage to come up. More may have responded, but these are the ones who came up in front of everybody and say that they prayed to receive Christ. You can't do that in our country. And they were shocked to hear that you can't do that in our country. This is the pastor. So when we got there, our crusade and our hut-to-hut evangelism was going on all week long, and they were just finishing up the church, doing some final touches, and you can see some construction and painting going on. And then it's time for the crusade. See, you do your hut-to-hut evangelism in the morning till about 1:15, 1:30. You eat lunch. You have a couple hours of downtime. And then at 4 o'clock, the crusade starts. And the crusade runs from 4 to 7. Now, the Mzungus, we all leave at 7 o'clock to go back to the hotel and have this big, wonderful dinner and such. And then they just keep on singing and dancing. And sometimes they'll watch the Jesus movie or the Jesus film, if you remember the Campus Crusade version from the early 80s. But this is the crusade. You can see there, Fred's tuning up. Fred always brings over a couple guitars and leaves them behind for the folks, and they're thrilled about that. They only know one setting on their music, and it's kind of like some teenagers. It's all the way up. And, I mean, it just rattles those speakers. But the folks are all pumped, and they'll just stream in. And, they, you know, part of it is they want to make sure that everybody for 50 miles hears this. And so they're all streaming in, and the folks are all excited at the singing. And every evening we have, they'll have the singing, and then we'll have a testimony by one of us, and then one of us later will preach, okay? So if you see a suit, that means you're preaching. And if you see something more casual, that means you're doing a testimony. See, Pete's doing a testimony because he's not got a suit on. You'll notice the Africans, they wear their suits. On Sunday, you don't come in a T-shirt to church unless you got a problem. I mean, those guys dress it up on Sunday. There's Wendy giving a testimony, Cindy giving a testimony. Paul, I included that one picture there because I thought that choosing of the pink umbrella revealed a little about Paul. I'm kidding. But it started to rain on us, and one of the nights of the crusade, we got off to a late start. And so, but they're not going to waste the evening, so once it just let up even a little bit, we pull out the umbrellas, and Paul's giving a testimony there in the rain. That's me on the right. and then you got Rosemary there giving her testimony. Connecting with the kids of Coena. Now, what we had is you had while the sermon was going on, it's just like here, you have the sermon going on, and then you have children's church. And so what would happen is we would holler something about children. Well, the kids figured out really quick, as soon as the person came up to preach, those kids would start jetting over there. And you can see, we'd easily have 150 so kids all jam-packed, excited. You can see Wendy doing a little leading there. Children's message at the crusade. I wasn't preaching that evening, so I was helping out. I think I was being a building. We were doing the Wise Man Builds His House Upon the Rock. We tried to do lessons, and then we'd work on songs together to teach the kids, and then they'd do the little motions for the songs, and so that's what we were doing there. Kids really responded. They really got excited. We had several Africans that were really helpful as well. Now, you had that three-hour span where you had kind of some downtime, and you can see for some folks, they decided to dance. Yeah, I don't know how we got Cindy and Paul dancing. I think we were talking about dancing, and they decided to get up there. We had to egg them on a little bit. They're ballroom dancers, by the way. I don't know if you know that. They do ballroom dancing. That's not ballroom dancing. Okay? You got Cindy down in the corner. They wanted to get a picture because over there you rarely see a motorcycle with one guy. There's usually five people on it if they can jam them on there. And that was, again, you saw in the video of the band. That was because it was raining. We had downtime. What are we going to do? And those kids, I tell you what, the kids all crowd around the pastor's house because that's at the pastor's house behind the church. They crowd around. They're sticking their arms through the windows. They're peering because they want to see these Mzungus. They're really pumped, and so there's always this group of kids around, and we drink the water bottles, and we found out that when you're done with the water bottle, don't have toys. So you get done with that water bottle, you just walk out to the door, and it's a mad scramble to get your water bottle. And after a while, Wendy and some of the others decide, well, gee, you can see even Pete's getting in on it there, and I slipped around the corner and said, I'm going to take a picture of that, and then, of course, Richie got on video. That's what you do when a crusade has a rain delay. You see all the excitement of the kids? By the way, look at their teeth. I think there's something about what we eat that doesn't help us. Look at those teeth. They don't have toothbrushes or dental floss, and look at those teeth. And there's Richie. Yeah, the kids they love the Mzungus when they come over. You can be driving by in a bus and the kids are out in the field and they'll start waving just because they see you. This is what you purchased at Coena. When you give money for our trip and for our tickets and all that stuff, that's all thrown in a pot. We bought acreage there. Was it 5 acres, Paul? I'm not quite sure. Somewhere around 5 acres so that guy can sustain himself as a pastor. He's got to work. And then we build the church building, the pastor's house, and then the fancy bathroom in the back. Okay? And so that's what we leave behind, and that's what your money goes to do. And by the way, I say your money goes to, it also goes farther than that, because we support the college. These guys are supported to get their education. Then we, as you'll see in a minute, we take them books. We pay the salary for the first year. We do a lot of stuff to make sure this church takes off. But there you can see the church. Now, you might look at that and go, well, that's not very special. Folks, there's nothing that nice for a dozen miles around. You have to go into the big city to see something that nice. And so people in the neighborhood are just thrilled. We also, because of your generosity, we were able to put a well right outside the church. That really helps people to want to go to church. You know, and one of my messages, there's living water here at the church building. Water's here, but there's living water in that building. And trying to make that connection, one keeps you alive for a little bit, the other will give you eternal life. And so getting them to come and get water is a big thing. And you can see the excitement. You see the little yellow barrel. They have to tote water for miles. You'll see little kids toting water. Pete's doing the first pumping there. If you look, I tried to blow it up there, but it says dedicated by Grace Community Bible Church. If you say Grace Community Bible Church in that area, everybody knows what they have done for them and are excited. Sunday morning, you've spent all week sharing the gospel hut to hut. You've spent all week doing the crusades. Now you've got a church. How many people will show up? You don't know. You have no idea. We had Sunday school. Cindy taught Sunday school for the ladies. And there you can see children's Sunday school. Just packed to the gills. They put out tents to cover them from the sun. And there's Rosemary and Wendy. They're teaching Sunday school with some Africans. Men's Sunday school. Richie taught the men's Sunday school, and it's packed. The idea of coming just for church, forget that in Africa. You're going, you're staying there for a long time. And Richie had them in the palm of their hand. A bunch of handsome gentlemen right up front during the Sunday school lesson. And then that Sunday morning, you couldn't get more people in that church if you had a shoehorn. Look at how packed that is. I mean, it's like a sea of bodies. Now, you can't move this far back here. You know, what's amazing is so many of them will be young people. It's dead silent. Try getting that many of our kids together and put them shoulder to shoulder and see what happens. Really wonderful. Time to celebrate. Rose, which is the pastor's wife, is in the brightly colored outfit. Joseph, who's the pastor, the new pastor of this church, is to the left. Ida got to, she sang a solo. We had special music. And then I got to preach the first sermon in the church. And there I am preaching a dedication sermon. After I get through, Morris comes up. He pulls up a couple chairs. He sits Rose and Pastor Joseph right there in the middle. And then he walks around them and charges them of how they're going to take care of that church and what they need to do. And then at the same time, he charges the people how they need to respond. Any idea what that is? Some of you know. Yeah, that's the offering. They took a couple boxes and passed them around. And you can see they got some bananas too and some other fruit. And I don't know if that's a jackfruit or a green watermelon, but. And there's Pastor Joseph and Rose with his wife. And that's in their new home, which by their standards is a little mansion. Even in Africa, that's a cell phone. He picks up that cell phone and she's trying to work it. Girls and cell phones. Okay. And then this is where we present Pastor Joseph with his new library. And so, and that in his hand is a proclaimer. It's one of those audios. It's the Gospels, all the New Testament audio. And so we give a couple of those as well with the books. That's the last picture before leaving Coena. There's in front of the church, so we're all there posed. Right down the street, not I say right down the street, a few miles away is at Komogi, which is a church plant in 2009 where we had three of our members as well as another church join with us. And Simon Peter is the pastor. Of course, They waited till after church. We fed them. We had a special meal we paid for them. We go down there. They've been waiting this whole time, and then they bring out the singers, and they have a big presentation for us. So it was an exciting time. Then our last day before you take, this is the day before. It's a Saturday before the Sunday service. We go to Sippy Falls just for a little R&R. It's like the Garden of Eden there, isn't it? That's on top of a mountain. That's a bird we saw there, a beautiful bird. He is very well taken care of. There's even a bowl in the tree. So he's not going anywhere. And there you can see the falls in the background, and we're making our way. We're going to work our way up to behind the falls. So if you get to go, if you decide to go on a trip, you do all this evangelism, you eat like a king, you go hut to hut, and then you go behind a waterfall. Now, that's not bad. There's the waterfall from behind. There's caves behind it. And there we are behind the falls. There's a picture of all of us. We also, Saturday, went to Luanda's the children's home. And this is the orphanage that was started a dozen years ago. And this church was the biggest player in that. So they found out we were in town. And if we're in town, you got to go there and see a presentation. So they bring out the singer. All the kids are coming out. They're singing for us. You can look right in the middle and see one that doesn't belong there. And that's Fred. And if the picture are bigger, you could look over and Wendy went out there. They pulled Wendy and and Fred out there. I don't have to tell you who danced better. Of course, Wendy's a dance instructor, so what do you expect, right? Fred's just kind of out there. You did okay, Fred. And then we're out of Africa. So that's how the week went. And just to reiterate, we felt strongly that you were all praying for us. People's hearts were prepared. So many people responded to the gospel. Aside from the fact that Richie was under the weather for a few days, and Rosemary had a cough, and Cindy had a few days where she was kind of clogged up. And overall, we were very grateful. Nobody was down for day after day after day. We all kind of struggled through little things, but it was a wonderful trip. And the reason it was so wonderful is you prayed for us, you financially supported us, and as a result, there is a solid church there that's doing very well and would not be there otherwise had you not given as you did and prayed as you did. So a special thank you for all of you. This wasn't the job of just 8 people. This was a job of the whole church. So I'm going to ask you all to stand with me as we dismiss in a word of prayer. Sorry for keeping you a little bit longer, but hopefully it was worth it. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you so much for this experience that we had in Coena. We were so delighted to see a new church start, a church where people responded to the gospel as we went hut to hut, and then a church just filled with people eager to hear. And our prayer is this morning that you would continue to be with that church. May you give Pastor Joseph and his wife Rose real wisdom as they find themselves now in a church with 250 brand new believers. Help him as he ministers to them. Help him to find elders soon that he could help entrust ministry opportunities to and help him in his work. Give Rose special strength and grace because in many ways she'll be viewed as the mother of the congregation. We just pray for the health of that church, for unity for that church. And we thank you that we were all a part of it. Thank you for allowing us to be involved in such a wonderful endeavor. And thank you for bringing us as a team through safely. We thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.